there. We have our children that are ready to go to Sunday school. We are excited to have the new area for these kids, so we're going to let them go at this time if they want to come across. Looks like they filled the basket with all kinds of goodies. We got Whoppers and Hershey's and Grands and Snickers. That's big decisions, isn't it? If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the Word of the Lord today. Brother Smith, we are going to Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 24 is where we're going to start. How many of you have spent time in prayer this week? I hope all of you, every day during the day, at some point in time, have spent some time in prayer. If you don't have anything else to pray for, just look this way. I'll take all the prayers I can get. And that beautiful lady walking over there will take all the prayers she can get. And God is faithful. It's good to have Brother Brad Hoffman with us here today. He came down from the Walkerton Church. He came for a little over 2 years, right? At 2 years, I think, nearly. About that, and helped us get the organ, got it all set up, and actually helped my daughter learn to play. And he is such a good friend to us, and it's good to have him with us. He lives nearly 2 hours away from here, and that's why he doesn't come here more often, but I understand on that side of things. He lives in South Bend, so he's a long way from here. But we do appreciate every opportunity we get to come down here and be in church with us. Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 24. Verse number 24 reads like this: "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. He said, Let both grow together until the harvest. Everybody say, until the harvest. Let them grow together till the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye the first, the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn. I want to preach just for a little while on a very peculiar message. Title to our message today is A Tare, a Pearl, and a Net. A Tare, a Pearl, and a Net. Can we ask the Lord to help us here today? Dear God, we ask you to reach down and give us strength, give us anointing, but more than that, help me to deliver what you put in my spirit to this body here today, that we can somehow penetrate their minds and their lives with something, God, that would provoke them and convict them and challenge us as a people, God, to be more like you than we've ever been before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I was studying for this message, there was a particular pattern that seemed to catch my eye in the Word of God. How many enjoys when you've preached or you've studied a section of Scripture, and then all of a sudden it just seems like it leaps out of you? You think, man, I've read this 100 times all my life, and now all of a sudden, God, you chose today to just kind of pop a little something out into my mind. I really never noticed the pattern of things that Jesus began to show in the Word of God in these parables. But we find a section here where Jesus begins to just tell stories. How many of you enjoy stories? Stories seems to make the best messages because it is relatable to us. It's something that that we can all look at and we can do something. We can process it in our mind because it's real life. And they say some of the best illustrations are everyday things that you go through, that happens in your life, that seems to resonate with people. And Jesus had understood this. Jesus had the concept of telling a story. And I don't know why he did this, but he called them parables. But we know them. They're stories. They're illustrations. They're things that would help the people to remember what he was trying to tell them. And I don't think it was the remembrance of things at the moment, but it was probably the things he wanted them to remember in the future. I can honestly say some of the best messages I've ever heard in my life, I don't necessarily remember the scripture text sometimes. I may not remember the night it was preached, but you will usually remember the illustrations and the things that was put into it because it challenged you and it processed in your mind. This is exactly what Jesus was doing with them, because he knew there was going to be a day that he wouldn't walk with man anymore. He would live inside the hearts of man because they would have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to go with them. But it would no longer be walking with Matthew, Mark, and John. It would no longer be where they would be communing together and sitting and eating at the Last Supper. The Last Supper was going to be the Last Supper. It wasn't ever going to happen again. And he needed them to take and process what he had taught them. And he wanted them to be able to pull it back out of the recesses of their mind and be able to put it into place. And this was one of the stories that he began to tell them. And the story he began to tell them, what the kingdom of heaven was really like. He said, it's like a man goes out and he plants a field, and when he goes to sleep that night, somebody shows up in the field, and in the middle of the rows, they start to spread in some weed seeds, some stuff that is going to corrupt, it's going to grow up, it's going to snuff out some of the good, and it's going to grow up in the middle of everything else, and it's something that nobody wants to have in their field. I noticed this year in our property that we have, and we cleared about 8 acres of it just so they could farm it again. And me and my son, it took us a couple of years, processes of time with the tractors and cleaning stuff up just so we could go back to farm ground the way it once was. And this year, it's been farmed for 3 or 4 years now. And this year we noticed as the beans came up, so did a particular weed. And it was probably one of the ugliest crops we've ever seen there at our property, because in the middle of the bean field, the beans were about this tall, but the weeds were about this tall. And it had grown up all in, and it was just one weed that Roundup didn't get. But that weed spread throughout the whole field and cut the crop probably in half of what it should have been. Why? Because there was tares in with what they were trying to do. Had we went out into that field and had we began to pluck up all of those weeds by hand, in the process of doing so, we would have done more damage to the bean crop than had we just left it alone and let the harvest machine, meaning the combine, separate the good from the bad. This is what Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples. He said, look, there's going to be some that are part of the kingdom of God. There are going to be some that are connected to the kingdom of God that may never pan out. But you must remember, in the process of tearing them out to purify the crop, you take the chance of damaging what God has set into place. Now many of us, this is hard to believe, but in some of us it's very easy to believe, but everybody that calls themselves a Christian doesn't necessarily mean they're going to heaven. Everybody that claims to be apostolic aren't necessarily apostolic. There are a lot of people that go to church every Sunday that really have no relationship and no connection with God. They don't have the spontaneous connection to God because they're missing that relationship. And this is what Jesus was referring to his disciples. He said that even amongst these 12, that there's actually one as close as an arm reach, sitting at dinner with us every night. There's one, he said, that's a devil. Think of that. How much more spiritual can you get than breaking bread with Jesus Christ? Can you imagine sitting there at the table with him as he began to break the bread and pass it around and fill the cups? And the Bible is very distinct that he was the greatest of servants. I got a feeling he was the one that was wanting to make sure everybody was taken care of and seeing after them. But can you imagine sitting at the table, being at arm's reach of Jesus Christ, and knowing in the middle of those 12 men, hand chosen by Jesus Christ himself, one of them would get sidetracked and actually sell out at the last moment? You say, what are you trying to tell us, preacher? What I'm trying to tell us is any one of us are susceptible to falling at any time. Any one of us at any moment has to keep an eye out for what the tricks of the devil is. Because the devil came to kill and to steal and destroy. Judas, I'm assuring you, probably had he could go back and redo his steps of the mistakes he made, would do it. But there was something that Judas couldn't do. And that was Judas did not have the ability to forgive himself. And Judas actually went out, and the Bible said he hung himself and his bowels burst out over the valley. Why? Because there was something in Judas's mind that said, I went too far, I went too deep, and now I can't get back. And you know, sometimes, now I'm going to preach to the church here for a few minutes, there are some times that we take it upon ourselves to check off what's wheat and what's tare. My Bible says that's not for us to do. He looked at those in this parable and he said, let the tare grow with the wheat. Just allow it to go forth. And don't you take it upon yourself to decide what's worthy and what's not worthy, because that's looking at a vessel of honor and dishonor and deciding who is an honor and who is a dishonor. I don't know about you, but it's very difficult to look into the eyes of God with something that he purchased with his own blood. He picked them up out of the muck and miry in the clay. We don't know their condition of where they came from. And who am I to look at God and say they're unworthy? Only God can do that. But the Bible then goes on to the next parable. And those of you that are following along scripturally, and for Brother Smith's sake, it picks up at verse number 45. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to preach all of these parables, but I'm taking these three parables that he taught to show us an illustration. Verse 45, he says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He was a man that knew what the value of a pearl was. He knew how to open the shell, inspect the contents, and knew what was good and knew what wasn't. I believe in the heart and the bosom of every person, we really know what's right and what's wrong. I don't believe God's got to come down and knock on our door and say, hey, let me enlighten you. You shouldn't do that. Sometimes it'd be easier if he would, because it'd get our attention. But he doesn't do that. There is something inside the heart. For the joy of every single one of us, there's a passion and there's a desire, and then there's something that checks in our spirit. Nobody's got to tell you it's wrong, because something in your heart says this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem right. And I don't know what it is, but I've got to get out of here. I don't know about you, but I've been into places at times. And my wife and I went into a restaurant one time, and we sat down. And a lot of people, my mom and dad enjoy this restaurant. And a lot of people eat at this restaurant. I wouldn't say it's a bad restaurant, but we sat down. I think it was a Valentine's Day. I think we went out to get a steak. Our special time, we go out about twice a year, Christmas time and Valentine's. We'll usually go spend a little extra money and get something nice. And we went out to eat, and we sat down, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she said, "I don't like this place." I said, "Honey, I didn't want to ruin our meal, but I don't like this place either." She said, "Something just don't feel right." And it wasn't. They came out and they started doing the line dancing up and down things, and you know, it does the, you know, that everybody for their own selves. But there was something in our spirit. It wasn't what was happening around us. There was something in our spirit that didn't check. It just didn't feel right. And to be honest with you, it was the worst steak I ever had for $20. And it wasn't the steak that caused us, but it was some place that we as a couple have never been back to ever again. And why? Because it just didn't feel right. Nobody had to stand out on the corner and say, "Hey, Preacher Smith, you better not eat here." But there was just something in our spirit. And nobody can teach you that. Nobody has to knock on your door, Sister Jade, and say, "Sister Jade, you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't go there, you shouldn't think these thoughts." It's just in your mind, you automatically, it's just there. Nobody had to tell me when I was a kid that I shouldn't pick up the candy and put it in my pocket and leave without paying nobody. However, you do it enough, and guess what? It doesn't bother you anymore. You sear that conscience. But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a person that finds something that is good, and they find out that this can change everything. This I could retire on. Everybody's waiting on the check in the mail. We were on the way to church. Brother Hoffman jokingly laughed at me as we were driving by one of the churches in town. He said, "You still praying God will give you that church?" I said, "In Jesus' name." And he said, well, someday," he said, when I get that check from, I don't know, some bank that did him wrong in the past." It was just a goofy thing. And he says, "I'll probably lucky to ever see $5 out of it." He said, but someday," he said, "we'll buy that church if God will give it to us." And we all wait on that check in the mail. We all wait to have that one thing. We always dream about buying that house and tearing out a wall and finding this artifact from the 1800s is going to finally make us wealthy. I'll never forget when we were, I know I'm taking some time, but we bought our first house. I bought our first house when I was either 17. I think I was 17. I was still in high school. And I bought our first house, and because I knew we were going to get married the next year. And so I must have been 18. But the house sat empty, so I must have been 17. It sat empty for a year. So we got married when I was 19, and she was only 17, so I'm telling on us a little bit. We were young. But she was from Tennessee, and I bought this house, and as we were cleaning some stuff out in the house, and I opened a drawer in the basement, and down in that drawer I found some pennies. I found a penny from 1890-something and another one from 1901 or 02. It was really, really old pennies. And I told my wife, I said, "Look, honey, I found a penny. This penny's probably worth a lot of money." And then you research and it's like $10. It's like not that, it's really not much at all. But there are some things that you come across that you look at it and you say, "If I can get this, I'll pay the price and I'll sell out and I'll do whatever it takes to get it." For some people, that's a high. For some people, it's lust or love. For some people, it's different things. But there are a chosen few in the world that God says that His people are like the one that found the pearl, and they traded everything
have bought it. And Jesus said, a true child of God is that kind of child. When they look into the eyes of God, they say, God, there is nothing in this world that's worth separating me from you.
He said, there are going to be some that come just for the benefits of what they can have. He said, but then there's others that have sold out. And it's all about God. But then he changes after this parable and he goes into another parable. In verse number 47. Verse number 47 reads like this. I'll give him just a minute. I think he's almost there. Look, he's faster than I am today. Verse number 47 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. When it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. Here, this is not my words. This is the words of Jesus Christ himself. He said, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Shall cast them into the furnace of fire, that there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all of these things? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. He said, guys, do you really understand? He said, I'm talking in parables. It's not for everybody to understand right now, but do you understand what I'm saying? This is not just a one-time passing thing that you catch a fad and you drift into it, but this is a life-changing experience. This is something when you find it, it's not anything worth selling it for. There is nothing. If you could gain the whole world but lose your soul, what would it gain you? But somehow you've got to get a hold of God with a death grip. You've got to hang on with everything you've got. You've got to make sure that you know I am ready to meet the Lord. It is not anything to play with. And those of us that have lived for God for a long time, we better double check in our spirits that along the way there hasn't been some tares that grown up aside of us and little things in our lives that have separated us from really being and bearing the fruit that God has called us to do, because every single one of us was called with a purpose. I don't care who you are sitting in this room today, including myself. God called you because there was something in his kingdom that he needed you to do. It was not by accident. It was not just because God was bored one day, but God handpicked, and my Bible says you are a chosen vessel. Out of all the vessels in this world, he could have chosen. He looked down and he chose you. And there is nobody that can do in the kingdom of God what God called you to do like you can do it. God can call someone else if we refuse and resist the will of God. He will. But I contend it'll never be exactly the way God intended it to be unless we submit our will to God. But my Bible says in the last days there's going to be a time that he's going to gather with a broad net. I found it interesting that he said the angels will separate. Never really noticed that in Scripture before, and maybe you'll have time to study it out, but I would like to study that out. What is he referring to? He said the angels will separate, and those that are the good will be saved, and those that aren't will be rejected. But then he said, guys, did you understand that? Did you really let it connect into your mind?
He said, because there's three steps to this process. He said, I put man into existence, and along the way, Satan came in and he threw in some tear. He separated man. Divided house against house. The Bible said in the last days there's going to be house divided against house. Brothers against sisters, sisters against sisters, mothers against fathers, children against their parents, and evil times. And the Bible said that these things will wax worse and worse, and there would be wars and rumors of wars. And you say, preacher, don't preach like this today. But Jesus was very careful when he told those disciples, do you hear this? Do you understand this? This is not a joke, fellas. This is serious business. The Bible said in the last days, these things are going to come to pass. But then he said, when you see these things come to pass. And then he said, but they must come to pass. But when you do, just know, redemption draweth nigh. I believe we're living in a society today that wants to make everybody a Christian. And if you are a Christian, the other side wants to kill you, to be quite frank with you. Because whether we want to admit it or not, there's a battle in our minds. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. There's forces of evil, and there's good. There's going to come a day it will all be sorted out. And when I read the back of the book, my Bible says, we win. If you're a part of the kingdom of God, you can't lose. But here today, as I'm coming to a close, every single one of us, as we go through life, we have our view of what we think God is. We have our view of what we think heaven is. We have our view of what we think it takes to get there. And we have our own view of what church should be and what life should be and how we should live and all of those things. And I say it's okay to have our own views, but all that matters is what the Word of God says. My interpretation of it isn't what we're going to be judged by, nor yours. We're going to be judged by his interpretation. Laying in living rooms of almost every house across America, it's one of the very things that I'm preaching about today. And that's the Word of God. History says it's the best-selling book in America. All time. But flesh says it's the least read. Think about that. Laying on our coffee tables, riding in our vehicles, is the blueprint to eternal life. And nobody bothers reading it. I know I'm not unlike any of you folks, but I don't like to read directions. It's not fun. You buy something and there's 50 pieces in the bag and 100 screws, and you think, took me 5 minutes to buy it. It's going to take me 2 hours to put it together before we can ever use the thing. So me being the man that I am, think, that's got to go there. What do? We take the picture of the box on the box and we turn it around so we can look at Brother Joey's done it too. And I look at the picture on the box and I think, I don't think I need those. I start putting stuff together and putting stuff together and putting stuff together, and my wife walks by and she says, what are you going to do with that?
Well, I guess I got to take it all back apart because you can't get it in there now. That works in real life. But it don't work once the net is cast. When we get to that stage of our life when God says, it's over. Whether we go by the grave or whether, and I hope I'm still here to see it, when the last trump sounds, we're caught away. I don't know if it'll be winter. I don't know if it'll be a spring day and the birds chirping and the flowers are coming up. And Sister Latrell, maybe I'll be in the garden picking a tomato. And I hear it in the distance. Shoo! It's over. Somebody else can pick the garden. Somebody else can have Macoon dogs. Because I'm going home. It may be a snowy day. Sister Kirk, it may be a Sunday and all of a sudden there's just a coat sitting in the chair. It's gone. It's over. I hope I'm alive to see it. But if I'm not, I'll still see it. Why? Because there was a day a young man said, I see. Yeah, I could chase money and I could chase a lot of things. I probably could get them if I worked real hard, but nothing's going to give me what the blessings of God can be. I found a day that I gave my life to the Lord. When God knocked on my door and said, I don't want you to start that business that you made all the preparations to start, got all the license, and now some other company's using it. Because there's a city 45 minutes south of here that you didn't even know existed. And I need a man of God in that city. Are the days, Brother Joey, you lay on your bed and you think, dear Lord, I could have been making so much money. Sure they are. Because I'm human, just like you. But then reality checks in and says, but will of God in a life. Let's all stand. Why? Simply because, according to God, there is a tear, there is a pearl, and there is a net. All are very real. All exist. But my Bible says he went away to prepare a place that where he is, we might be also. My Bible says that he that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And then my Bible says, only the righteous are going to enter in. You say, preacher, what are you saying here today? I'm simply saying, under the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, disciples, do you hear what I'm saying to you? I need this to stick. Some 2,000, 3,000 years later, there's going to be a church, Winnemac, Indiana, January, on a cold Sunday afternoon. Somebody needs to know about the tear. Somebody needs to know about the pearl. Somebody needs to know about the net. Don't let it die. Because there's coming a day that it's all going to be over.
hear it clear. So I ask us today on this Sunday afternoon, how many of us would just, we're not in a hurry today, how many of us, whether at this altar or in your pew, would just find a place to pray? I don't believe this is a message for sinners or saints. I believe it's for all of us here today. We need to make sure. We need to double check in our spirits. God, am I missing anything? God, is there anything in my life that I need to just verify? God, I need to know, God, beyond any shadow of a doubt that I'm ready to meet you. God, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus Christ to reach down amongst your children today, God, and let us know assuredly, God, that we can sing about heaven, but are we going? We can talk about heaven, God, but we need to make sure every day that we live that there is that relationship between you and us, God. It's very easy for us, even as apostolics, even as people that claim to have the name of Jesus Christ and have your spirit and say that we are Christians, God, but somehow there's times that we go through walking through life and it may be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, sometimes weeks, and we haven't even had a conversation with you, God. Somehow we've let that slip away, God. I believe that is not the way that we want to meet you, God, but we need to make sure that avenue between us and you, God, is there. It's a reality, God, that it is a functioning relationship, that you are our God and you are our Father and we are your children, and there is no children that go without speaking to their dad. There is no children that go without speaking to their God. And somehow we need to make sure, God, that the blood is applied to our life, that the Spirit is there, that we have that relationship with you, God. Don't let us waste the blood that was shed on Calvary, but let us protect it with everything that we've got. No, beyond any shadow of a doubt, God, that we are ready to meet you. It's not intended for you to catch us unaware. The Bible says that we should be looking, we should be longing, we should be waiting for that moment to come. Whether we die and give our last breath or the trumpet sounds, God, there is something that should be a longing desire in the heart of every child to see their daddy. There should be something inside of me, God, as a preacher, God, that says, I'm ready to go home, God. Yes, Paul had it clear that he said, to die is gain. Oh God, let us get a recollection of what you've done for us. The atonement that's been paid, the price that's been paid, the investment that's been made, not in the rest of the world, but in me. And I didn't deserve it, God, but you purchased me with your very own blood. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, God, right now to reach into my spirit here today and every child of God that may be sitting in this house today. Let there be a communion between that child and you. Let there be a communication one more time that says, I still love you, Jesus. I still love you, Jesus. I may do my own thing. I may forget to pray. I may go about my business and go through life, God, but somehow don't let me lose sight of Calvary. Don't let me lose sight of the mercy and the grace that was shed for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just entertain his presence for a few moments in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your presence walk through this house right now. Rebaptize us with a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost today, Jesus. It's not by accident we don't have visitors here today necessarily, but I believe you came with a message for this church body and your children, God, to allow them to recognize one more time, we need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. We need a rebaptism of your mercy. We need to make sure that we are fulfilling the calling on our life, God, that you have called us to be. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of. Thank you for visiting us one more time today, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for responding one more time with a message to let us know, God, how much you love us. To let us know one more time, God, you will stop at nothing to pull a soul to you. You'll send message after message, set situation after situation into place. Why, God? Just to prove your love for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Undeserving, that's what we are, God. But yet you still show up Sunday after Sunday, God. To deliver us something, God, that we don't deserve. Come on, there's a special presence of the Lord in this house. Let's not take this moment lightly, but the presence of God has walked into this place to deliver mercy and grace, to deliver something to his children here today. There's some strength in this house right now. There's grace in this house right now. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Come on, church, let's walk in the Spirit for a few moments. Come on, let's not be onlookers, but let's find a place to pray and intercede. If you don't have something to pray for someone else right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of
my God, how great you are. How great you are.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Heavens are telling,
walk amongst your children right now, Jesus. Let them know there's a daddy that still loves them, God. Wrap your arms around us here today, God. Hold us, God, in your presence today, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ilarebosiana ekonorobosanata ikotorobosi. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Ilesiana orobosia kata.
How great you are. My God, how great you are. How great you are. The heavens are telling, telling the earth how great
Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God,
your love. The oceans are rising, rising and falling as if we are responding to your love. My God, how great you are. How great you are.
Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
My God, how great you are. My God, how great you are. How great you are. The heavens are telling the earth how great you are. We are.
Oh God.
Rising and falling at your word. And we are responding to your love. My God, how great you are. How great you are. My God, how great you are. How great
name in
you
Jesus
are.
Name in Jesus' name.
My God,
oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Hallelujah. This is the wave and the presence of God. You only come in contact with this ever so often, but this is the moment. You need something from the Lord. This is your time to get it. The waters are troubled here today. If it's been a while since you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, I challenge you to plug into His presence right now. It's here. It's available at this very moment. Hikata yenarebo siya na la 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 boko shata ilarebo.
Hallelujah. How great you are. How great you are. How great you are. How great you are.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. He has yenalalalabokoshata. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yosiana okotoroboshanata. Oh, God, God has visited us, saints. God's moved here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If it weren't for you, God, where would we be? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.